Welcome back, everyone, to the last episode of our season. Today, it is myself, Allison, and Bertine. And we are going to be talking about something that is a little near and dear to both of our hearts. And it goes along with diversity, inclusion, and equality in the workplace. Now, I know we've both had different experiences on this. Three words I know a lot of people have heard over the past couple years, but specifically in the audiovisual market in Canada, we wanted to talk a little bit more about it. Well, I guess audiovisual and technology integration. And we just wanted to discuss a couple talking points, ask a couple questions to one another to really get some opinions out there and get the conversation going, because we both feel like it is something that needs to be discussed.
I wanted to add something. I mean, this is like very, very near and dear to us because, as Allison mentioned, this is one of the reasons why we started the podcast, because we felt like a lot of people haven't had the chance to tell their story, to speak about their challenges or struggles that they've had along the way. And I know Allison mentioned she had some and I have some, and we still have some. And I think that although we've come a long way, we still have a long way to go. And I think that's why this podcast is really, really important to us, because as uncomfortable as it may be to speak about some of these things, it's important that we talk about them and that we try to better ourselves as an industry.
We'll still try to have laughs, but I mean, yeah. Bertine, I think you nailed it on the head. And I mean, I think the best thing, honestly, is to just jump right into it with the first question. Bertine, why do you care about diversity and inclusion in the workplace?
I mean, there's so many reasons why this is very important for me. I mean, I think the most important thing is that I actually have felt excluded my entire life, and not just in this industry, but I've experienced exclusion, I've experienced racism, I've experienced judgment for just being me. And I think that I want to tell a little bit of my story, but I also want to talk about how things can improve. And like, I've experienced racism throughout my entire life. Ever since elementary school, I remember having kids make fun of me because they didn't know what country I was from, or they didn't know why my skin was a certain color. And I thought, okay, well, this is, you know, just elementary school. But as I went to learn on, especially growing up in Mississauga, Ontario, you know, diversity was very limited back in the 80s and 90s. I think that I was able to comfort myself knowing that, okay, this is just the time it is, but it's going to grow and things are going to change. But even when I started getting into my early 20s, I would experience racism in the corporate world. I started working with an agency, and I would work various jobs through an agency just to like pave my way through university. And when I started working for these large companies, I noticed that there was no one that looked like me, that had a similar background to me, or even like as a female, there wasn't a lot of females in those corporations other than the receptionist, right? So I noticed that, hey, wait a minute, there is a lot of things that are missing from this picture. And I realized like, this is such a weird way that the world is working. And I definitely thought like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to navigate this corporate world with the lack of diversity that existed, right? And I also noticed that the way that the women's roles were in corporations were very limited to receptionists or office admin roles, and nothing in executive or manager or marketing or, you know, in operations or anything like that. And I thought, that's really weird, because I mean, I never thought of, you know, why women play certain roles in companies, but it wasn't until then I actually saw like, wait a minute, they're actually like molded for certain jobs, because they've been taught that these are the jobs that are acceptable for them and they shouldn't like, you know, kind of steer away from that, which I thought was wrong. But then it wasn't until I started working in an AV company back in the early 2000s that I started to see, wait a minute, so those corporations didn't have people of color or women in general. But now that I'm actually in the AV industry, it's even worse, because there's less women. There's no one that looks like me. There's no one that I can look up to as a mentor or anything. And I experienced racism right in our industry right away. As soon as I started, as a receptionist relieving somebody for a major surgery that they were having. And all I had to know at that time was answer calls, how to direct them, and how to open mail. But as soon as I started learning more about the company and trying to get into different aspects of the different departments and moved into sales, it was kind of like girls and women should not be in sales. And it was like very shocking for me. And the kind of discrimination I faced when I actually got into the sales aspect in our industry, they're like, well, in our industry, the women are mainly in like customer service, accounting, and reception. So that's when I really started to see like the discrimination that started happening. I think it still exists. Like, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a bunch of people in the industry over the past 7 years that I've been in it. And I've noticed that a lot of the time, whenever you sit at a table or you go to an event, you look around and they're generally males. They're much older than me. I mean, I feel like a lot of what you experience is very relevant, even to this day still. I think it's been a lot better. I am seeing, you know, more women in the industry, more people of different backgrounds, more people who are of various ages. And I think that the mentality from previous years is starting to dwindle a little bit with the rise of the newer generation, which is really nice to see. And it's very positive to see. And I think that's one of the ways that I feel Global is so different from a lot of the other companies in the industry, whether they are competitors, vendors, manufacturers, whomever. They're very different. We have a lot of folks who are younger in age that are just out of school and are extremely bright and really hardworking. We have women that are in lead management roles and operational roles, supporting roles, purchasing roles, MVP roles. And I think it's really inspiring.
It is. And, you know, you touched on a good point. It's like it has changed a lot. I think it actually changed a lot more in the last 2 years during the pandemic, because we see more women in leadership roles, in executive management. And it's amazing because it's so different from even 5 years ago. And another good point that you brought up was about, you know, having people that are inexperienced in AV coming in. I think we need a fresh perspective in our industry, because it's always been that way. Like, hey, it's the good old boys club. And if you haven't been around for 30 years, what do you know? You don't know much. You don't know the right connections. You haven't networked the right way. And that's not necessarily true, because we're just doing it a little bit differently, right? We're not doing it the same way, but change is good in my eyes. And one of the things that Sean and I had to understand when we first started Global is, hey, wait a minute, just because we haven't been around for 30 plus years or have the same connections or look the same doesn't mean that we can't start a company ourselves or build something that's sustainable and that could technically compete with companies that have been around a lot longer than us, right? Is the racism still here? Oh yeah, we still feel it to this day. I think we're probably one of the most diverse companies in our industry, and I'm not just saying that because I'm biased, but I can tell you right now, we have women in different roles in our organization. We have people of different ethnicities, race, beliefs, faiths. They all play different parts in our company, but they're all very important. And I think that's one of the things that even other people who are not in our organization have noticed and have told us about, right?
I think it's been incredible, because looking at a lot of our team members, they've started out not being in or not being an AV, not having an AV background, but are probably some of the hardest working, dedicated people, you know, and have learned so much. I think it's really incredible that you can kind of take someone who just has the willingness to learn and really want to be involved in something.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I mean, you've been in the industry for 7 years, and that's not actually a short amount of time anymore, even though, you know, some people say, well, if you haven't been here for over 20 years, then what do you know? I think you being in our industry for 7 years, you've seen a huge shift in the industry. Like, what have you noticed since you started, like, about the inclusivity of women in our industry, or, you know, or the exclusion of women in our industry? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it's definitely changed over the past 7 years. I feel like they flew by. It feels like 7 months. but like, if it takes a month per year. But I mean, with that, I think when I first started, I definitely noticed that it was a little bit different coming from such a diverse college and educational program to then going into the corporate world and having a very different look and feel when I went to, you know, vendor outings or client meetings or what have you. We're seeing some of our competitor companies just stepping back a little bit and noticing that it was quite different. A lot of the time, you know, being the only person that was under 30 around a table and female. So that was a little bit of a change for me because I was definitely not used to that. But then, you know, in the past couple of years, I know there's been a little bit of a shift. And I'm going to give a shout out to two individuals that have done something pretty amazing in the area. You know, we are from the GTA, Greater Toronto Area. So I think back in late 2018, there is a duo, Christina Cruzeiro and Christina Lucas. They started the AVIXA Women's Council for the GTA, which I think was a really incredible first step, because just knowing that that is something that they recognize that needs to change is amazing. I know that Council does exist in the US, I believe, and maybe around the world as well with AVIXA. But to just notice it in our little group, our little silo in, you know, GTA Ontario was really the first step. And I think it's definitely changed a lot there. And I know, Bertine, you and I think went to the first meeting and the first few for sure that were in person. And we saw a lot of women there from different ages, some ones we didn't even know that were in the industry or wanted to support the industry. And we actually saw a lot of men there too, which was pretty supportive as well, which I thought was so incredible. And I know we also hosted an event for AVIXA Women's Council for the GTA. And I know just the support and the standout from that as well was really amazing.
I think they did a great job with that organization, because it didn't only just bring women from, you know, sort of the integrator side, it brought women from all aspects of AV. So distribution, vendors, manufacturers, and integrators, and even clients sometimes. So it was nice to see so many different types of people there. And it was like, I felt like it was a very safe and inclusive space where you could come and be comfortable and you could network and you could really see how the industry has grown. And I hope that those events continue as we make our way back to somewhat of a normal time where we can have those events again. It was so refreshing, because when it first came out, we were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, because we need to be participating. We need to be a part of it. And it's because it was so new and it was so much needed that people really felt so excited about the movement throughout our industry, because all the other events that, you know, that we have, not that they're generally like kind of pointed against males, it's just that it just naturally tends to be more males that participate. And I think that one of, you know, the initiatives that we have is trying to help, you know, women feel like comfortable in some of the technical aspects of our industry as well, and not to shy away from that as well, because training, certification, that's something that we lack in our industry for the women at least. And we need to have more events based on that so that females do feel welcome and not, you know, apprehensive or nervous about attending technical certification events or events that, you know, that do give you certification for certain manufacturers or certain credentials across the AVIXA, right? So that's what I'm hoping for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing. And I definitely think that we're trending in the right direction, that it'll get there eventually. Crossing fingers, that'll be soon, like you said. I think another important part here is also not just on this side of, I guess, genders and in the AV industry, but also on the age of a lot of the people there, because I know when I first started, there wasn't a lot of people who were of a younger generation as part of the industry, and it felt a little daunting working with and trying to work with a lot of people outside of global that were quite older than me, kind of almost looked down on me, that very new to the industry, didn't really know much, didn't really care to do any correspondence. And that's where I just had to be very persistent and really focus on what we really wanted to do. And the fact that some people might not, you know, take someone seriously because of their age, because they haven't been in the industry for a very long time, it really saddens me, because you truly see our team, the hardworking, the really focused, goal-oriented team that we have. And if they are on the younger generation, they are doesn't mean they're any different from the folks who have been in the industry for 25 plus years. The way we see them is that they're all equal and they're here for a purpose and they're here because they care. And at the end of the day, that's really all that matters.
And I think that's a good point, because one of the things, like, and I've mentioned this earlier, is the struggles that when Sean and I started Global was, wait a minute, you guys are not part of the old boys club. And, you know, you haven't been around for many years, although we have been around for many years. It's just that not in the same way that people have traditionally seen it. And one of the things that I have seen in the industry that's changed is a lot of our clients, the people that we used to deal with 20 years ago, have all started to retire. And the people that are replacing them or being promoted to those jobs as clients or end users are our age or younger. And it's nice to relate to them on that way. And they're bringing a fresh perspective in terms of the solutions that they're looking for. And we're bringing a fresh perspective in terms of what we're engineering and designing for them, right? So I think that ageism exists, but it's changing because our clients are changing. You know, we are changing with the times, and we never want to think that, hey, we can't change because this has worked for so long and that we don't need to change it. One of the things that, like, Sean and I like to look at is change is good, and we want to adapt with the time, and we don't want to, you know, move with what's happening in technology. And we never want to take for granted that a client that we've had for, you know, 13, 14 years is always going to be happy with our solutions unless we're changing, right? So that's one thing that I think is important, is that age is just really a number. It's also based on the perspective that you bring. And, you know, I know that a lot of companies out there, they hire people that are seasoned and, you know, been in the industry for many, many years, but which is a nice thing. It's a good thing. But I also think that giving someone a chance that's just new to our industry is important as well. Because, you know, it's not rocket science, I like to say. It isn't. But it's something, if you find someone that's passionate, ambitious, likes to learn, I think they're going to be just as good as anyone that's been here for 20 years. And they can be, and they have the potential to be. And that's why our team is on the younger side, but also we like to keep things moving, and we encourage our team to get the education that they need or they want, certification and things like that, because we want to grow with our clients.
Exactly. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. There's so many points. I know we'll probably get to some more. So I'm going to move on to the next question. Do we need more diversity within job roles in organizations in our industry that are inclusive of women? I know you touched upon this a little bit already, but do you have anything more to add?
Yeah, like I mentioned before, I think that traditionally in most organizations, women have been given supportive or supporting roles, such as, hey, you're the receptionist, you're secretary, you're an executive assistant and office admin, you know, and there's nothing wrong with those roles because those are hard roles. Those are people that are working very hard to keep the company going, but it doesn't have to be limited to that. You know, for us, we have women in different various roles throughout our organization. We have people, women that are doing operations. We have sales and marketing. We have people in project management. So it's like there's different ways that we as a company are changing the way that the roles are turned out to. So even like we have a female designer with us now. So for us, it's never about the gender, but it's nice to see that we do have various people in different positions and that they're bringing something new to the table. And I think it's important that we give these roles to anyone that deserves it, not just because they're male or they've been in the industry longer.
Exactly. And it's good to have a mix, right? It's great to have a mix of people who are in different roles, bring different perspectives, because that's how you become different. That's how you grow. That's how you change. That's how you evolve, or, you know, you're nimble at the same time, right? Yep. Which I think is so important, because you need to have different people in different aspects of the company, whether they want to be in a account management role or the warehouse manager.
Exactly. And, you know, I was thinking like about 20 years ago when I decided to venture into sales in our industry, I can't even remember anyone else that was in a sales role 20 years ago that was kind of on the road, you know, bidding on projects that I would ever come across. Because when I did go to site visits, when I did go to those client meetings where I had to show up, mandatory site visits, site evaluations, you know, when I show up, I'm always the only female there. And it was like very shocking to me. And it was not always well received, because when I first started the industry, I remember one particular incident. I went to a client and a client site visit, and we were waiting outside of the actual building that the site visit was, because it was being run by a consultant and the consultant was running a bit late. So we're sitting there and I'm looking around and I don't see anyone that looks like me or is a female. It was 7 or 8 other males, and they all seemed to know each other because they were talking to each other. They were kind of, you know, joking around with each other. And I show up and they all stop talking and they look at me. I'm like, what's going on? And yeah, it's shocking, right? Because it's a construction site. I have my hard hat, my work boots, not traditionally something that many sales reps are in our industry are female. And so these guys literally stop talking as soon as they walk in, you know, earshot of them, and they look at me and they just stop talking. And I felt like, that's really awkward. Why are they stop talking when I show up? And I felt so singled out because they just looked at me. And I remember one of the guys said to me in a joking way, but kind of in an immature, childish way, said, "Hey, where's your pink work boots and your pink construction hat?" I mean, I won't tell you what I said to him, but
that's for another episode.
That's for another episode, uncensored. But, you know, it was just shocking to me that someone would even feel comfortable enough to like say something like that to me. You know, I'm newer to the industry, but I've been working my butt off as a sales rep, and I come there and this is the kind of welcoming I get into our industry. And it just showed to me that it was an all boys club and women were seen as a novelty. Like, it was kind of like, oh, they exist, but they're never going to win the project. I didn't win that project, which is okay, because I knew I wasn't going to win anyways. But it was more for a learning experience for me, because I wanted to see what kind of site there existed, and I wanted to know, learn more about the technology. And this client was new to our organization at the time. And I also learned a lot of things, like networking is very important, because when the consultant finally showed up, everyone was kind of hugging him, you know, giving him high fives and pats on the back. And I didn't have that relationship with them. So I realized, wait a minute, I need to start networking and I need to do more for myself to get into a position where I could have a good relationship with the people that I need to in order to be invited for these bids. So that site visit itself taught me a lot, but it also taught me about that, hey, there's not a lot of people that are like you in our industry. And it made me kind of look at things very differently. So that was an eye opener for me.
And I think there's still so much change that can be done, which I know we'll go into a little bit, but that's really upsetting to hear, because I mean, we're not going to say how long ago that was unless you already did. I mean, that is upsetting that someone could say a comment like that, because I could never think about saying anything like that about, you know, the opposite gender or somebody else who is my age, my gender, because at the end of the day, I mean, we're all human. We should treat each other with respect. You didn't do anything to them, so there's no need for anything like that. And I know we've both chatted about this, you know, in preparation for the podcast and everything, but still so many comments even to this day that are said to me, you, our team members, whomever it may be, is still really upsetting. And I don't know why those things to mind for some people. Like, it's just, it's beyond me that I would never say anything like that about any one of my peers, any one of our industry people in the industry. You know, the fact that some people just have the audacity to just say some of the things. I mean, if they're saying that, I have no idea what they're thinking, and I really don't want to know. But I mean, some of it is truly very upsetting.
Yeah, I mean, it, like I said, like you mentioned, does it exist today? Yes. I mean, we've had vendors say some pretty crazy things to us over the last few years. And it's very upsetting, because it's like, would you feel comfortable saying something derogatory towards someone else in the industry? are you comfortable saying it because we're women, or we're, or it's because of our ethnicity, or whatever it could be, right? So, I mean, a long time ago, I had a, and this is not at Global, but at my previous employer, I had a colleague of mine who I'd known for a few years at some point, just look over at me because I was talking about background, and they go, wait a minute, you're not Mexican? And I went, no. And I said, no. And it was just weird because I was just like, what does this have to do with anything I'm saying right now? And I said, no, I'm not from Mexico. And, you know, and I said, but that's okay if I was, but what is the problem? And she kind of just gave me a weird look, like, and her attitude towards me changed so much after that, because I think she assumed I was from a certain country, but that when she found out where I was really from, she felt like she couldn't have the same values as me. It was very weird. She kind of changed her attitude towards me. And I, and to be honest, it's like, it was, but she's known, she was known to be like that with other people as well. But I just find like, yeah, and you think, okay, that was like almost 20 years ago, right? But then it's like people still say the same stuff now, right? And it's like, what does my background have to do anything with my job or our friendship or our relationship right now in the industry? Like, it should not weigh anything on you other than you should be looking at me as a person, and that's it, and what I'm doing, right? So does it exist? Yeah, it still exists. I mean, you've heard some crazy things. But the other thing too is that, you know, I talk about that site visit from many, many years ago. Those guys that were at the site visit still are in our industry, right? And they're still working in it, and their views haven't changed much. I can tell you that. So I think it depends on the person as well. And that's why I'm happy that there's new people coming into our industry and opening up possibilities for others. And I also feel like I have an obligation to do that as well, because I know what it feels like, and you know what it feels like. And I think it's important that we open doors for other people, right? And that's how we continue to like get better.
And also by having conversations like this for, I mean, people who have experienced it as well, maybe people who have been the ones that have said it in the past and not known what it has done to affect people, and just to know what's out there. Because I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we're all in the professional corporate world, you'd think, you'd hope. That's what we all wanted to get into. So it'd be great to keep it that way.
I mean, we're supposed to be professional, but but you know what? I feel like when someone says something negative, I think that speaks volumes of them. And that's what I've learned now. It's like, you know what? Those people are not as many as there used to be. And it's a reflection of, I know that sounds kind of corny, but it's a reflection of them, because they obviously haven't been able to move forward in life in terms of what the world's become and how we're changing and how we're improving. And so if they have that mentality, it's really on them, to be honest, because they just choose not to be accepting, or they choose not to grow. And it's on them, because that has nothing to do with who I am as a person, as a professional, or what we're doing as an organization.
And I think that's the perfect way to end that topic, because sure, I know we could go on with that forever.
Okay. So Allison, what, like, after all that we've said now, like, what are the steps we could take as an industry to be more diverse and to promote inclusion?
There is so many things that I think could go along with this question. And another one of those things that I feel like we could talk about forever. But I mean, for both of us being in the industry, as long as we have, I think the main thing here is that, and I'm being very specific to audiovisual, obviously, AV is for everyone, period. I truly believe that that's the case. I've seen so many people start their careers in AV and have been wildly successful. And it truly tells you that it is for everybody, regardless of your position in AV. I've seen technicians who have started off not knowing how to do anything and have been very successful and learned everything. And as same with sales, same with purchasing, same with, I haven't seen these, but, you know, project management and operations and so many different roles. Because I think that what's so unique about this industry is there is so many aspects to it. You can have a lot of different roles, but really you can go and start there not knowing much about it and you can build your way up to it, which I think is incredible because maybe a lot of industries are like that, but with AV, it really is for everybody. It's all around us every day. And I know one of the things that we've talked about as well is just about speaking to more of the younger talent and how they can be a part of it too, being able to go to some of those college and university programs and offer up jobs or, you know, summer jobs, co-ops, what have you, to a lot of those younger, new perspective, fresh talent that can be brought into the AV world as well, which I think is one of the biggest things that we can do. And also with that, just making it known that the industry is changing. AV is grouped into IT a little bit more now. We've seen that a lot. We work with a lot of people in IT now as clients and even as vendors too. We are a little bit of a separate part of that. And we've seen IT and the IT industry grow and change over the past, you know, 5 to 10 years. And I think Cisco is obviously a great example of that, but AV is still behind. And I think we need to catch up with it.
Yo, for sure. I think that's a great point. Like, we welcome, we encourage, you know, the younger generation to get into our industry because we need them to change our industry even more. I think that we need people from different walks of life, from backgrounds, and, you know, also like even people from different industries coming in to change our AV industry is like also welcome, because especially from the IT side, I mean, we've had a lot of change in the last few years. Like, we've had a lot of people from distribution and manufacturing move into the integrator space. And it's actually, for the most part, it's been very refreshing to see. First of all, when they come in, they're like, whoa, we didn't know you guys had so much things to do. Like, it's very intricate. There's a lot of moving parts. So we're not just selling a product, we're selling solutions. And I think that, you know, we need younger, newer additions to our industry to even strengthen it even more. And I think that's what as a company, we've been doing that. And honestly, we have the most amazing group of individuals that we work with. And I'm not just saying that. And I think it is a testament to them. Honestly, it's been eye-opening to us because, like, and the thing is, like, we like that. I mean, you know, Sean as well. Like, he likes to be on the cutting edge of innovative ideas, sometimes many, many years ahead, but he likes to dabble in it. I think it's important to have people that surround you that are constantly learning, that are trying new things, bringing in fresh perspectives. And I think that's the way that we will change our industry. Like, that's the only way. And I think, and also like hiring people, not based on their gender or their race, or just hiring them based on what you're looking for and what they're bringing to the table. You know, when I interview, I never look at resumes. I think, what's the point of looking at a resume? Because if someone hasn't had experience in an industry, that doesn't mean that they're not a good candidate, right? It's like, what are they bringing to the table? What's their passion? What's their ambition? And I think that goes a longer way than, hey, I've worked in the industry for 20 years and I know this guy and I know that guy. And oh yeah, and I have a good relationship with this vendor. And if you're bringing me on board, I'm going to bring this vendor to you and we're going to close this much business. And that's great. And that's one approach. But I think at the end of the day, we're solution selling. We're not product selling in our industry in any ways. And I think it's important to base things on the person and not necessarily the experience that they have, right? Because everyone deserves a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Seeing candidates as people, no matter who they are, is going to be extremely important. And also encouraging people to broaden their skill set by furthering their education, doing a lot of those things, because I know that that's something that we focus on as well, to just try and keep up to date with what's happening, you know, continuously learning. I know we've talked about that in previous podcasts as well, but that's one of the biggest things, because I mean, being in the technology industry, there's a lot of resources that we can access, and encouraging those people to do so. They can come in and want to be a technician and, you know, start out by learning on the field, learning from who we already have on the team and them being their mentor, and then going off and then learning about specific courses, AVIXA certifications, you know, specific ways to do things, and just really starting off there, learning by, you know, boots on the ground, physically boots, or maybe sitting at a desk. I'm not sure. I mean, that's going to be one of the best ways to be more inclusive as well, once that a lot of those people are in the door.
Exactly. And I encourage, like, our industry, like, I don't know, whoever is listening to this, like, even vendor level, distribution, manufacturing, you know, it's important to hire with the mindset that, you know, you could teach someone something very valuable, and it's not that they need to have it right from day one. You know, it's so important, because when I started, so just speaking about my personal experience, it's like I was kind of ridiculed and made fun of for not having the right connections when I first started. I was told that, you know what, yeah, no matter what you do, you're never going to be as successful as someone that's been already around for 20 years. And also, you know, girls tend to drop out of our industry. And so I think you're just one of those girls, and maybe you should look into be doing more of a support role in terms of coordinator or receptionist. And I think that's where you'll be great at, because you have such a nice personality. And people have said that to me, and I'm like, wait a minute, give me a chance here. I haven't even had a chance to, like, try my best, right? And I think that's important, because if you don't give someone a chance, you don't know what their real potential is. And I've seen that firsthand with our team, because we have a lot of people that were never in the industry. And I think that's, like, actually a good thing, because, you know, they're bringing in new innovative ideas, and they're not bitter or jaded as some people could be. And it's nice and refreshing for us.
When thinking about mentorship, I know that's one of the biggest things talked about today with a lot of people in the just career world, I guess, for a lot of young adults, being able to have a mentor, being able to go to someone to really help you through some of those things you'd experience when you're in the first few years of your career. Bertine, did you see anything like that when you were just starting out in the AV industry? Was there a lot of mentors available to you that were, you know, similar to, like, who you are? Tell us a little bit about your experience with that.
So mentorship to me did not exist when I first started in the industry, because, I mean, to be honest, going to give a little credit to Sean, because he was technically my mentor, but I mean, he's taught me a lot about our industry, but also I didn't have anyone in terms of someone I could really, really relate to when I was starting off in the industry, because my relationship with Sean only started after I got to know him, because I moved into the sales department. So that's where I got to know Sean. But from the beginning, I didn't really know anyone. I didn't have anyone to talk to about it. And first of all, there was, in our industry, no one was ever coming up to me and saying, hey, you just started, so do you want to sit down for a coffee and I can talk to you about it? No one ever approached me like that. No one looked like me in the industry. No one was my age, because I started very young. And so, no, I didn't have a mentorship. And also, when Sean and I started Global, it's sad to say this, but there wasn't any other AV company that has two people of color that are running an organization like Global, one of them being female, both of us coming into Canada as a new country. I don't think I know anyone like that. And it was difficult at first, because when we first opened Global, you know, our vendors, some of the vendors were amazing. Like, some of our main major manufacturers, vendors, they were absolutely amazing. They helped us with, you know, we had nothing when we started, and they took it upon themselves to give us a chance. And we were so, so thankful for that. But we were surprised, because vendors who we worked with previously, before Global was founded, and when we did found Global, they weren't unwilling to give us a chance. And it was, like, really shocking to see, because it's like, why would you give us a chance when we're working for somebody else? But now that we're starting our own thing, like, why aren't you giving us that chance, even though we are a big promoter of your brand, or your big promoter of your line? And it was like, well, you know, it's you guys, and it's not somebody that's been grandfathered in into this industry. It's not been someone that's traditionally a person of color. And people have said those things to us. It's really upsetting to say it, but it's true. People have told us also, like, hey, it's because you guys are of color that you guys are not being brought in as a vendor and it as a reseller. And it was really upsetting to hear, because it's like, wait a minute, we had relationships with those people and now we don't. So nor was there any mentorship, but also we also weren't welcomed with open arms, if that makes sense. So for me, and not that I ever want to say I'm a mentor, but I welcome talking to anyone in our industry. If anyone ever wants to reach out to me, I'm happy to have a conversation with them. If they want any guidance in terms of somewhere that they want to go into in the industry, I'm happy to do that. And I would always be welcome to do that to anybody, because I know how hard it is. I know how confusing it can be, how overwhelming it can be. And I think that it's important to have someone that you can talk to. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a mentor, but it's, you know, someone that can give you that guidance, right? And I wish I had someone, because there was no one like me when I was in the industry 20 years ago, but there's also no one like me right now that I could even go and ask for, you know, guidance or anything. So it's important to recognize that. And it's also important to build that network for us. Like, we need to have more people that are different coming into our industry so we could all talk to each other and kind of figure it out together instead of alone. Because it is lonely. It's very lonely. But I think it's true. And I think, like, I don't know, Allison, like, do you feel like you had enough resources when you first started in the industry, you know, and like, is there ways that we can improve? Because, you know, I never want anyone to feel the way that I felt when I started.
That was the first time I've heard you say some of that. So it took me back a little bit, because it just, I think the older I get, the more I realize that one of the main important things to me in life is just being kind and respectful of people, because at the end of the day, we're all the same. You should treat everybody with the same respect. You should treat everybody with the same kindness and courtesy. And the fact that like people who you genuinely worked with for years could say stuff like that to you just because you went to a different company or you decided to start your own venture, you're still the same person. It's not like you completely changed who you are. It's really upsetting. And I mean, the fact that people just truly aren't there for you, they're there for you because of a certain scenario. It just goes again to show like loyalty and how our industry, some of the individuals are a little backwards. And I think that's the most polite way I can say that.
Some of them have said it's because Sean and I are people of color. Some people have said, hey, you don't have a big, you know, you haven't had 50, 60 years in this industry. And it's sad to say that. And I never have mentioned this before, but it's because I think it's important, because I noticed now that several new companies have started after we have started. And they were not met with that same kind of rejection. And it's because maybe they're both of, or maybe all of their founders are not people of color or women. And it's upsetting to say that, but it's true. People have said it to me, like, hey, by the way, like, these people started their company and they never had the same hurdles that you and Sean have had. And it's like, I know, like, it's, and there's no one like me right now that I could say, I could call up as a competitor, because I do talk to most of our competitors. And, you know, I do have, sometimes we have those conversations, but there's no one that for, like, to me, like me, that's a female that's in an executive position in the company that I could reach out to say, hey, how did you handle this scenario? How did you handle this situation? How did you handle growth? How did you handle obstacles that have come up your way? There's literally no one like me that I could really relate to, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I thought definitely, I mean, going back to one of your questions, I know I spoke about one of the first parts, just I guess what Global has done since I've joined, or like, I guess when I joined, that was a long time ago, I can barely remember it. But I mean, I feel like I was given a lot of resources. I was given the opportunity to say, hey, come into a new industry, you know, with a fresh set of eyes, not being previously from like a corporate position of any kind, but just saying, hey, you know, this is kind of like a path of what you can do to learn more. These are some of the, you know, introductory courses you can take. These are the people you can talk to. These are the sites that you can look at. This is how you can learn more about it. And to be constantly given tools like that is really important. And then I think that's how I was able to learn and grow from, you know, where I came versus where I am now. And I mean, always still continue learning and obviously growing, what have you. But that's kind of where, as of today, where my story lies.
Yeah. And I think it's important, like, that you have someone somewhere in your organization that you could talk to, because you should never feel alone. And I think that's one thing that, you know, we need to do better as an industry, is we should have more mentorship programs. We should have more events surrounding different responsibilities, roles, and organizations. And where, like, for example, marketing, sales and marketing managers can meet together, you know, and they could talk about things that have been successful for them, things that have not been, even for people that are in operations, PS, designers, and say, hey, let's just talk about what's been helping us, any resources, tools that you find that are helpful. Oh, this training really helped me out, and think you should take it, and I'll be willing to help you with studying, or I don't know, just like different things. And I think we don't have that, because it's unfortunate that we don't come together more as an industry. We do have competitors, and we do have people that are competing against us for business. But at the end of the day, there's more than enough for everyone. And I think it's important that we lift each other up and not tear each other down. So I think that's really important for us. And I know you would be as well, open to helping anyone that would ever approach us for help. And I'm putting that out there right now. So anybody that wants to talk to me or just wants to... hear the uncensored version of these stories that I'm telling, please let me know, because I'd be more than happy to share.
When you're not being recorded.
When I'm not on a podcast, yeah.
I mean, so many great points. And I mean, yes, obviously always happy to speak with anybody that just wants to let off some steam or, you know, have genuine questions.
I was going to say, and I think that's really one of the things that you and I got out of this podcast series as well, is, you know, we met so many incredible women in our industry throughout the season, and it's amazing to hear, like, what they've been through, where they came from, what they're focusing on now, what their goals are. Because if we didn't do this podcast, we probably wouldn't get to know them on that level. Right. Because, we're just so used to the usual day to day banter and saying, hey, how's it going? And, oh, I'm doing fine. And then moving along to the actual question we're asking. But when we sat down with them and we had a little bit of time, it was nice to hear that. So we're hoping for the next season, you know, that we're able to try not just females, but other people in our industry, and try to learn more about them and their journey into this industry and see what they faced. And I think sharing them, their stories, people can relate to them and be like, hey, wait a minute, I kind of went through that as well. Or, you know, I thought I was the only one. And that's what we're hoping from that, right?
Yeah, everyone is different. I mean, we've learned that, but everyone is different, yet everyone has, you know, very similar experiences sometimes, right? Which I think is one of the things we've learned. And just to have a little bit of that mutual understanding, mutual knowledge, I guess, on, you know, where people have been, what they've experienced, and knowing that, you know, sometimes when it's hard or sometimes when you feel alone, you know, you're not the only person that's gone through that. Right. When I know, listening back to a lot of our guests, I've felt the same way as some of their stories, maybe not some of the crazy ones like getting their hair ripped off. But I know that we've tried to keep a lot of the episodes pretty light and airy. And I know that this one we had a lot less laughter, unfortunately, and a lot less goofy questions. But I think that they're all points that are very relevant. And I'm hoping that, you know, whoever is listening or who has a chance to listen, they can have some similar feelings to some of the experiences that what we've shared.
Exactly. Like you were saying, maybe like it resonates with them. I think that having this podcast episode, it was necessary. It's important. It's, you know, and it's, I hope that it drives more conversations. And if you ever want to reach out to Allison and myself to talk about something that's really important, that's near and dear to you, that you want to maybe bring to our next season, let us know, because we are excited to welcome new and different guests for the next season.
We're always open to talking about anything. Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in and listening. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We really appreciate it, and we hope you enjoyed the past couple episodes.
Yes, and please share with your family and friends, and also please comment on posts on LinkedIn or anything. And if you feel like you want to recommend somebody, please do so, like Allison mentioned earlier. But thank you guys for listening. We're really proud of the episodes that we've done this season, and we can't wait to do more.